All right, we're in Romans chapter 3, and we stopped last time at verse number 12. Those listening by other means, give us a call at 856-261-9018 if you want to call us, or questions at vftbc.org or emails. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 12. We took it up last week, but 12, 13, and 14 from Romans 3, beginning together at verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. All right, to verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. Who's the they referred to here? Look at verse 9. What does the they refer to? Who is it? Oh, that's right. Now, anybody else that's not a Jew or a Gentile in the whole world?
Nope.
No, either a Jew or a Gentile, Jew or non-Jew. So it says they are all gone out of the way. What way are they going out of? What way have they gone out of? What is it?
The way
of righteousness, the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does God say their state has become because they've gone out of the way?
Unprofitable.
Unprofitable. What does unprofitable mean?
Worthless.
Worthless.
No value.
Pastor Dan.
Look at the demeanor of the someone saying this, not a, they can't hear very well. Is the meter registering right? Am I talking? Can you
hear
me okay?
Well, I think now it's better, but it's back there in the distance. See,
right.
Because we have, so I think right now they'll be able to understand. I think they'll be able to hear now.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yes.
Let me know.
They can hear you better, but Pastor,
okay.
Brother Bill is a little bit soft. So, all right. So, unprofitable. It's everybody who's not a Jew and a Gentile, but God says they've gone out of the way. There's not good, not one. Do they all agree they're unprofitable? What does a sinner think of themselves usually?
They think they cast me out.
They cast me out. They're all there. Fine. Nothing problem. God's, what is it? They might think they're a good person. What is God's assessment of them? Unprofitable. No good. Unprofitable.
What?
Yes.
What's the difference between a, I know everybody knows Jewish people, right?
Uh-huh.
But Gentile, what is that? Is it just non-believers don't believe in Jewish religion?
Yeah. Anybody that's not a Jew, God considers to be a Gentile. That's it.
That's all.
That's it. Jews are one class of people. Everybody else in the whole world, whether they're Hindus or Buddhists or whatever, they're not Jews, God considers them to be a Gentile. Anna?
Well, to be a Jew is not just not, it's a nationality as well as Judaism. One could be a Jew in their heritage, but then they would still be a Jew even if they didn't practice Judaism.
Yeah, because of their nationality. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
But we are believers, are engrafted in. We base a lot of the Christianity is based off of Judaism. It's a Jewish prophecy, a prophecy on the Messiah. You know, and so one always wants to ask if I was a Jew. You know, and the correct answer is yes, I'm engrafted in.
In that sense, into the body of Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says there are three kinds of people. What are they?
Jews,
Gentiles, and Church of God, Christians. Even though your nationality may be Jewish or Gentile, if you're genuinely born again and you're a genuine true Christian, you now are Christian. And so God doesn't look at you as a Jew or Gentile. Yes,
in the context of the natural vine.
Yes.
If God spared not the natural vine, how much more would it be for those that have been the other people that are not the natural vine?
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I would say.
Right. Now, also in verse number 12, how many does God consider to be good people?
None.
Good. Not even one. As far as God's assessment, all of us, see, we're sinners, we're lost, we're without the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely trusting Him, we're going to hell. That's it. That's the destiny for the devil and Satan. All is sin. So, then in verse 13, what about the sinners, unbelieving people's throats? What about their throat? Well, how does God look at their throat? Verse 13. What is a sepulcher?
It's like a grave.
It's a grave, it's a tomb, isn't it? It's a tomb, a place. So what does that mean about the stroke? What kind of stroke would they have if it's like filled with dead people's bones? What would it be like?
It would be like they would be, everything they would say would be death, would be, all right, you know.
What else do we know about dead bodies?
Smell, they decompose.
Does it decompose? Does it smell? Now I realize with the stuff they pump into them, it doesn't smell as bad so quickly, but after a while. So God says their throat.
Rotten.
Throat rotten to the core. Opens up, open, not just the closed sepulchre when you close it up, but open, everybody can see it and smell it, it's a terrible thing. What about their tongues? What is, how, yeah, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, so now we're probably speaking to somebody not too long ago about if somebody wanted to have an immediate burial, in other words, they didn't want to, they chose not to have an embalmment, at least in their view, they would, the person would have to place a hermetically sealed casket that would kind of withhold that decaying process. I mean, we wouldn't withhold the decaying, but it would contain the smell of decaying,
right.
I suppose. I mean, once the body's in the vault in the ground, it goes away with, I'm not really sure if the person is accurate in their assessment.
Right.
But in other words, that's what they were thinking.
Yes. So, open sepulchre, yeah. But so then, what do they do with their tongues? These unsaved Jews and Gentiles at all in the same. What is it?
Cut them out of their mouth?
Oh, no, in this verse 13. What do they do with the tongue? What is mentioned about the tongue in verse 13?
Oh, it's deceitful.
What does deceitful mean?
Lies.
We heard one of these men that ran for president and took a signed an oath. Will you back the one that's a nominee for the presidential? Everyone would have. Lying through his teeth, see? Deceitfulness.
More than one.
Oh, cool. I was saying the one just recently that spoke on the convention. But there's more than one. You're right. There are two, three, four that have done that. But the deceitful, they say one thing and they do something else. It's a horrible thing. And the tongues, does God like deceit?
No.
What does it say in Jeremiah 17:9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart, deceitful. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. That's the next verse 10, isn't it? And then, what is this about? What is an asp?
It's a poisonous snake.
Where's the asp poison here?
Under the lips.
Under the lips. Now, what will that do if it's under the lips of unsaved Jews or Gentiles that are lost and unprofitable? What will that do? What does poison do? Yes, Tammy.
Well, it's referring to their speech, isn't it?
Yes.
Their speech is deadly.
Deadly. Speech is deadly and poisonous and a terrible situation. And so this verse 9 proved before Jews and Gentiles all under sin. And this is a picture of them in verse 13. They got a throat that's bad, tongues that are bad, and their lips are bad. Three different parts of their bodies, horrible. And in verse 14, what about the mouth?
Cursing.
Do you see any cursing in the world today?
All the time.
All the time. On television, used to have rules about certain things. They don't care. Blasphemy and dirty, filthy stuff.
You can't go 30 seconds on that TV without hearing.
Exactly right. God's name is full of cursing. Not just, why do you suppose God says full here?
It's overflowing,
abundant, cursing, and bitterness. What is bitterness?
Anger.
What is it?
Anger.
Could be part of anger. What else, Tammy?
Anger. Anger. It's not necessarily okay. Expressed outward.
What's the opposite of bitterness?
Sweet.
Sweetness and so on. So the bitterness and hatred. What is it?
The gall of bitterness,
that's another thing. So, full of cursing, 12, 13, 14. So, let's read verse 15, 16, and 17. Their feet are swift to shed blood.
Destruction
and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. What about their feet now? What are they doing with their feet? These sinful people? What is it?
They're running to kill people.
They want to kill people? We have ISIS wanting to kill people. I think this during 1 month, I think they racked up 3,000 to 4,000 dead. You're killing maybe 5,000, I forget the exact statistic. Swift to shed blood. They kill, that's what they want to do. Yes, Tanny.
It's an interesting contrast to those that have their feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? Feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Here, the feet shed blood. Swift to shed blood. Then in verse number 16, what is in their ways? What does that mean, in their ways?
Destruction.
Every place they go, their ways. And misery. The people admit they're miserable. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but quite often, even a miserable person says, well, I'm all right, I'm fine, I'm happy. If they don't think they're happy regularly, they just drink a little bit of dope or drugs or whiskey or whatever and try to make them happy with poison and with a terrible situation. But
it's only temporary.
Temporary. It doesn't last, absolutely. As we read about that just the other day in our Bible reading, the book of Proverbs, I believe. A drunken man, it's like up on the top of a mast, rough sea, back and forth. He hardly stands straight. And when he's finished, he drinks it out again. He continues to go. There's no stopping the filthiness. Misery and destruction in their ways. The way of, verse 17, what about the way of peace? What is the only way to get peace with God?
Through Jesus.
Through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only way we can have peace. Therefore now, peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about these who are sinful and corrupt about peace? Do they understand what it is? Well, they have not known the peace. And then, let's see, we read 15, 16, 17. Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All right, verse 18. What is the fear of God? What does that mean? There's no fear of God.
Reverence.
All right. And also, it could be literal fear.
Atheists
are certainly part of that. In other words, if you do not believe that God is able to cast you into hell, the lake of fire, for all eternity, you're not fearing God. I mean, I know we usually say fear means reverential trust. No, that's one part of it, but I think fear, literal fear too, phobos, that means fear also. You better fear the Lord. And if you don't fear the Lord, do right. He's going to chastise even believers that are Christian people. We've got to be fearing the Lord. There's no fear of God in their eyes. Does a lot of these people even believe there is a God? No. Yes. Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us that the devils believe in trouble.
That believes in trouble. Yeah, Linda?
Yeah, but I hear people that don't believe in God.
Yes. And so if they don't believe in God, there's no fear of God, because who's he? He can't do anything. I don't even believe he exists, you see. A terrible, terrible atheistic type of thought.
And the scripture tells us.
Yes.
The fool says in his heart there is no God.
Fool says in his heart there is no God. That's right. And then 19, I think we read. What law is referred to here? What law is referred to here?
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses. That's the man.
The
law of Moses is referred to here. It says those that are under the law. Who are under the law? What people are under the law? The Jews, all right? The Old Testament Jews under the law. In the New Testament, I guess, if they're still Jews. And what is true, what will the law do if they really see what it says in verse number 19?
The knowledge of sin.
The knowledge of sin.
Oh,
and
sorry,
yes, and what is true if they fulfill, if the law is worked out, What does God want to happen in verse number 19? What does God want to happen if they
trust Christ?
What else before that?
Let your mouth stop.
What does that mean? That every mouth may be stopped. What does it mean by that? In other words,
every knee should bend.
That's the then.
No, nothing to say.
What does that say?
No, there's no argument against why. There's no argument against.
Yes.
Their condemnation.
And in chapter 1 of Romans, there's a phrase similar to this, is there not? That you can't talk. When God judges somebody because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he sends them to hell. There's no talking, arguing back. Just mouth closed. Every mouth closed.
It's sort of like Job. He was having a debate with God as he was talking to his friends, mm-hmm. and he was saying, "I would reason with God." And then when as soon as God spoke, mm-hmm. he ignored himself. And
yes.
Dust and ashes, and he didn't say anything at all.
Didn't say anything. So God has a way of stopping them. In other words, every mouth stop. And what will be the result at this judgment of all the sinners of the world? What verdict will be given to these people?
Guilty.
Nobody going to pass. What's the only way to avoid being guilty before God as he judges? What's the only way?
Jesus.
Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Realizing you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and trusting Him, believing Him, genuine faith, the only way. Otherwise, you're going to be in hell fire. But here, all the world may become guilty before God. Does the world believe this?
No.
No people in the world, they don't understand. There's no guilt. But the scriptures are clear, and the Bible is clear on this, is it not? Did we read 20 yet? Did we read 20?
No.
No, let's read 20, 21, and 22 together.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law,
there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Why verse 20? What does it say about the deeds of the law? What law is referred to here?
Law of Moses.
What's it say about the deeds of the law and by the deeds of the law? What's not going to happen?
No justification.
What does justify mean? What's that word mean? What is it? Made righteous or declared righteous. That's right. No person, no flesh will be declared righteous in his sight. What does that mean? In God's sight, do people declare themselves righteous in man's sight,
no.
Women's sight? They don't? Yes, they do. There's a division. Who's right? Yes, Patty.
That's what I was going to say. Well, I do, like some of the people that came to Lord Jesus Christ, I've kept all the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord tried to show something of his own heart,
mm-hmm.
Where he had many riches and was trusting his riches.
Yes, in other words, some people said nothing wrong with me, I'm fine, everything's correct. So they do justify themselves in their sight. But what's the difference between man's sight and God's sight? What's the difference? God is perfect, and he sees all of our, not only our deeds, what we say, but what our thoughts are as well in our hearts. Nobody can be righteous in the sight of God, not justified. Then it says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Oh, excuse me, Anna.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know, he wasn't there himself, and even if he had been, he would have been able to know all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God, as judge, he is omniscient, he knows all things. So that was what I wanted to say.
Good, so he knows everything, doesn't he? What does this last phrase mean? By the law is the knowledge of sin. What does that mean? That's the purpose of the law. In other words, before there was the law of Moses, sin wasn't labeled. But when the law came, like for instance, the Ten Commandments, so it's ten, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you do that, that's sin. In other words, you got to put a law up or some rule, and you violate it. Just like 35 miles an hour in the cities. If they go 35 or 40 or 50, it's a transgression, isn't it? Yes, Dan?
No,
oh, excuse me, Bill.
Here.
All right, Bill, okay.
Before the law came, we didn't really know that our sins were an offense to God.
Yes.
People probably did things that were bad.
Oh, yeah.
They thought, well, it was wrong. And then they probably didn't realize how serious an offense it is to God to do those sins. So the law defined it.
Yes, Anna.
Before Adam and Eve seemed to be aware that they had
Cain slew his brother, and am I my brother's keeper? They've made excuses and so on, but by the law and the knowledge of sin. We read 21, didn't we?
Yes.
Right, but now, what is this now? Where's the now? What time of... Where? Now, it's when the Lord... What has already happened when Paul is writing this in A.D. 60 or thereabouts?
He was crucified.
Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Why was he crucified?
For our sins.
For the sins. The sins of just the elect, just a certain group of people. Sins of the whole world. And so he's died, and now, and the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. So in the age of grace, as Tammy said, now, what is true? What is true about the righteousness of God? Without the law. What is true? Manifested. It's being witnessed to the law and the prophets. In other words, what is righteousness and how do people get righteousness? Can people on their own be righteous? No. That's to them.
You have to appropriate it through the blood of Christ.
All right.
It's his righteousness.
The God is given, can give the righteousness by genuine faith in him, can imply, can bestow upon the sinners his righteousness. So righteousness of God is manifest for the law, witness for the law and prophets. Did we read 22 yet or not?
Yes?
Okay. Now it defines the righteousness of God. What is the definition of receiving the righteousness of God?
It's by faith.
By faith. What is it?
Confess your sins.
Well, according to verse 22, what's the way of receiving righteousness of God?
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Now, what type of genitive is this of? Objective genitive or subjective genitive?
Subject.
Well, subject would be Christ's faith. See, the hyper-Calvinists apply all these ofs. Faith of Christ means Christ's got to give you the faith, otherwise you can't be saved. What is that's a subjective genitive. What does objective genitive mean?
Faith in Christ.
Faith in Christ is the object of our faith. See, there's two types of genitives in the Greek language, and love is good. It's a good translation. We've got to understand which one it is, and that's why the hyper-Calvinists are wrong, because they interpret all these ofs as subjective genitive. Christ's faith. In other words, you can't be saved. Christ got to give you faith. No, you got to give faith in Christ. See, objective, the object of our faith is Christ. So that's how righteousness comes, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, to whom is this righteousness offered? Okay, it's unto all. But who really gets it in verse number 22? All right. Upon all them that believe. In other words, believe who? Believe what? What kind of belief is it? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine faith, not just simply the head faith, but genuine faith in Christ. That's a very important thing. Do all churches teach this means of getting righteousness of God? No, they don't. There's very, very few that teach that, but the scripture is very clear. It's manifest through witness by the law of God, the righteous of God, without the law, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of, which is objective faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's unto all. Now, what does the hyper-Calvinist say the offer of salvation is for whom? Just the elect. That's the only ones offered. If you're not elect, forget it. Just go about your business. But it's unto all, but it's upon all them that believe genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only ones that have this. What does it mean there's no difference?
It doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile.
No, Jew or Gentile, no difference of any kind. You didn't read 23 yet, did we? Let's read 23, 24, and 25 together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All right, verse 23. How many people does God consider to be sinners?
The whole world.
The whole world, all have sinned. What does it mean to come short? What does that mean?
You don't want to admit it.
Miss the mark, what is it?
You don't want to admit it.
Don't want to admit it, possibly.
Don't measure up.
Don't measure up. Yeah. Come short of the glory of God. Oh, and do the people in this world believe this first? Yeah. A lot of people know. A lot of the ones who believe the Bible believe it, but the rest of the people, they're not sinners. They have not come short. They're going to be doing the good works. And then in verse 24, it uses that word justified again. What is justification again? Pastor Dan?
Declare righteous.
To declare someone righteous. God can declare people righteous. And how is justification taken care of? How is that achieved in verse 24?
Redemption.
By redemption. What is it?
Redemption
is in Christ Jesus. And what does freely mean? Without any cause, without any works, without any deeds, without paying a price. No cost to us. Cost the Lord Jesus His death on the cross of Calvary, but justified freely by His grace. Who's the His refer back to?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ's grace and God the Father's grace. What does grace mean?
God's riches
in Christ. God's riches in Christ. What else does grace mean?
Unmerited favor.
What is it? Unmerited faith. Unmerited
favor.
Unmerited favor. Getting something that we don't deserve. And that's how we get justification, being declared righteous. We don't deserve it. Christ died for the sins, our sins. If we trust Him as our Savior, God gives us, declares us righteous. Now, if we were declared righteous, does that mean we're definitely righteous in what we do and everything we do today in this world? No. What's the difference between being righteous and having God declare us to be righteous? What's the difference? Yes, Tammy?
Positionally with Christ.
Positionally in the books of heaven.
Practically on earth.
We have this sinful flesh that's just always with us, and we got problems. Well, we ought to aim at being righteous on this earth, but as far as the books of heaven, if we're in Christ, trusting Him genuinely, He stamps us absolutely righteous in His sight. That's the only way we can get to heaven, because He stamped us righteous in His sight. And we got to aim at righteousness, but we're not righteous down here. We've got to aim at it. And what's the old saying? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Justify for your advice, grace. What's the means of justification in verse 24? By His grace.
Redemption.
Through redemption. What does redemption mean? To being buying back, being bought back. Redeem means to buy back out of the slave market of sin. Who is the only one that can buy sinners back to Himself? Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can buy us back and redeem us. We read 25, did we?
Yeah.
Now, notice whom. Who does the whom refer back to in verse 25?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Whom God, who's that? Who's God referred to here? Who's God, what's the reference here?
God the Father.
How many persons are there in the Trinity? And what are the three?
Father,
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And usually when it's just God, many times it's God the Father. In this case, because whom goes back to Christ Jesus, God the Son, whom God the Father, has set forth. What does set forth mean? Set forth. Pastor Dan.
Put forward,
declared, set forth, to be a propitiation. What does propitiation mean?
Satisfaction.
That is, God is satisfied with the work of His Son. The New International Version wipes out that word propitiation. Many other new versions wipe it right out. Doesn't even occur in the book. Too big for these fellows. But He set forth the Lord Jesus to be propitiation. How do you get that in verse 25? How do you get propitiation? God's satisfaction. Faith in His blood. Who's the His referred to here? Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His blood. In what sense? His blood. What blood? What type of blood? When does this take place and where does it take place? When the blood was coursing through His veins upon this earth?
No.
What does it mean? Faith in His blood.
Well, it was applied to the mercy seat.
By mercy up there? Yes. What else? Even before it's applied to the mercy seat, what else? Verse perfect. Pastor Dan?
On the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood.
On the cross of Calvary.
To atone for our sins.
Shed His blood to forgive our sins. That's right. To atone for our sins. There's faith in His blood. There's the shed blood of Christ that can save when we trust in Him. And salvation by faith in His blood. All these hymns that we sing, back and forth, all kinds. Power in the blood, all these things. It's the shed blood of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And many did put that at the mercy seat of heaven, after we believe that after the resurrection. Then, what does it mean to declare His righteousness? Whose righteousness is speaking up here? Again? To declare His righteousness.
Jesus Christ.
Probably the Lord righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins. Remission meaning what?
Removal.
Wiping out, to change, pardon, all these things. Remission of sins that are past. In Colossians it says, having forgiven you all sins, past, present, and future. This is sins that are past. And what does it mean through the forbearance of that? What's forbearance mean?
Long suffering,
all right. He's just biding His time, and the sins that are past. Did we read 26 yet?
No.
No, we didn't. Let's read 26, 27, and 28. Then we'll stop right those verses. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. For his boasting then, it is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is one verse 26, I want to stop before we get that one. To declare at this time. What time do you refer to, do you think, there?
Church.
Age of grace.
Could be age of grace. What else? What happened? What time? When did this take place? This whole event of propitiation. At the cross of Calvary, probably, to declare at this time. His righteousness. Whose righteousness is referred to there? Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. Now, that He might be two things. What are the two things that the Lord Jesus wants to be in every person's heart?
Just
and?
Justified.
What's the difference between those two words?
One is what the Lord Jesus Christ is, and the other is something that He gives to
okay.
of
one
His
is,
character.
One is His character, He's just, absolutely perfect and righteous, but justified, the one that declares someone else to be just by genuine faith in Him. Anna?
Just is an attitude, and justifier is a noun.
That's good. Just is an adjective. Justifier. Justifier is a noun. One that's a justifier is a noun, that's right. And justify is a verb, isn't it? So we have adjective, verb, and noun. All these things are... Now, he's going to be the one that justifies. Who's the him referred to in verse 26? Justified him.
Anyone that believes in Christ.
Anyone that believes. Now, what kind of belief is that?
Heart
belief. Strong, sincere, real. Not these people just talk, but have a genuine faith in believing Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop at verse 26 for tonight. And remember, next Thursday, we hope to see you over there at the Deansburg outside of meeting, and also Wednesday at Anna.
The meeting on Wednesday starts at 9.
9 in the morning. That's right.
And
we
go to 9. 9 to 9
both days. That's right. 9 in the morning to 9 p.m. So join us if you can. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? We'll stop right there at verse 26.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can see through thy word, thou hast declared every single person in this world to be sinners before thee in thy sight. And yet we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who died upon the cross of Calvary, bearing the sins of the world in his own body, that by genuine faith and trust in him, we who are sinners can be declared absolutely righteous in thy sight in the books of heaven. We thank you for this wonderful privilege, this blessing that thou hast given to those that trust in our Savior, and be any of those who have not yet perfectly done this in our service tonight or in our church service or listening by other means. May this be the time that they do this genuine faith in our Savior. Guide us and direct us, especially be with us in our Deansburg on meeting next Wednesday and Thursday right here in Collinswood, and guide us and direct us and bring us back safely on the Lord's Day as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
She was down here, but they took her up there.
Walmart that we usually, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with.
Ross got kids.
All of mine, I just goes off.
So he took, I think, the kids up there. They took the kids up there. The fourth son, they took the fish up there. Now he's got some, like.
Thank you, Barbara.
I talked to him on Monday, he said he had to go pick the children up somewhere from summer camp.
They've been for a while.
Said, who do you think?
I got mixed up with one of the
questions. So question
you don't
like
have
that.
To use 12, so you need 10, whatever you need.
You need 12 on board for 12, right. Not that.
That's that was one that she had.
And then whatever, and then have extra. Okay, right.
And then she's got 3
hours. Yeah, she does.
So you go on.
I'm not familiar with that road, so what word you meant, you probably won't know. I know this word.
Yes, you take Country Boulevard, Country Boulevard. You have a T intersection.
With White Horse Pike?
White Horse Pike. You go left to the White Horse Pike.
Okay.
And that's traffic light. There's, it's not a T intersection, but it's a T the other way, you take a right.
Next traffic light.
So you go to Dive Cup, so we can't go anymore, I mean, you can go more, but you have to go off the right. Take a left. The next driver, I take a right. And you go down to the, you go down and
the panel is gonna be in
Audubon.
I probably just put Audubon on my GPS.
And then you go to the second light, which is White Horse Pike, and take a left. So you go into the next light, which is the entrance to Walmart and all that.
So it's very rare.
Arby's and Sonic. So you see, so you go
in Audubon. So you go in Audubon.
So you go, the White Horse Pike, pushing on the road, left in there, next like a right. We're in the White Horse Pike. The White Horse Pike, which is two lights, take a left, and then next light. Black Horse Pike.
Right on that.
It's off the Black Horse Pike. It's off the Black Horse Pike. It's off the Black Horse Pike. It's off. Set back. You could take a left at the first line and go to the back for it. Then zip work on the Black Horse Pike. Take a left.
Alright.
And we'll
meet you there.
Sounds good. Alright.
Yeah,
all
right.
So you want them now? Okay,
and I'll write you a check?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I want to talk about the water stuff in a minute. I got to get some books for it.
Sure.
Health
person. And you said that the bottom.